Danny is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across London today. This is their story. In Hayes and Harlington, one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, transport infrastructure work sits undone while skilled workers remain idle and training centres stand empty. Danny wanted to build the connections that keep London moving, but discovered that every pathway to that work had been closed by decisions made in Treasury offices, far from the communities that need the jobs.
I'm Danny. I'm 29, and I've spent my whole life watching London move. My dad drives the 222 bus route. My mum serves school dinners in Hayes. Growing up here, you learn that everything connects to everything else. The Heathrow cargo flights that wake you at dawn carry goods that arrived on the trains you hear rumbling past at night. The underground extension they've been promising for decades would link our high street to central London in 20 minutes instead of an hour. I wanted to be part of building that connection, not just watching it from the outside. After years in Heathrow warehouses, shifting boxes from planes to trucks, I decided I wanted to build something that would last longer than my shift pattern. Transport infrastructure fascinated me. How do you design a railway cutting that won't flood? How do you calculate the load-bearing requirements for a bridge that carries both freight trains and passenger services? I had the maths from school, the work ethic from the warehouses, and the motivation of someone who'd spent every morning commuting on transport networks that someone else had built decades ago. In 2019, I walked into West London College and asked about their civil engineering course. The woman behind the desk was helpful but apologetic. The transport infrastructure module had been cancelled, she explained, due to reduced government funding for vocational training. We still run the basic course, she said, but the specialised transport components, the hands-on work with railway engineering and bridge construction, that's all gone. She showed me a glossy brochure from 2 years earlier, featuring students working on scale models of underground station platforms. We had industry partnerships with Transport for London, with Network Rail, she said, but when the funding was cut, we couldn't maintain the equipment or the instructor positions. I left the college and went straight to Transport for London. If they couldn't train me, maybe they could employ me directly. The apprenticeship coordinator was friendly enough, but the news was the same. Our construction apprenticeship scheme has been suspended indefinitely, she told me, due to Treasury spending constraints. We've had to prioritise existing staff over new recruitment. I asked when it might restart. She shrugged. That's above my pay grade. The decision comes from much higher up. I tried the Department for Transport next, specifically their Skills Bank initiative that was supposed to connect people like me with transport sector opportunities. 3 months later, I received a letter stating the program had been paused pending budget reviews. The letter was polite but final. It had thanked me for my interest and suggested I might consider alternative career pathways in related sectors. My last attempt was Crossrail Luted. I'd followed the Elizabeth Line construction for years, watched the tunnelling machines disappear underground near Hayes Station, seen the new platforms taking shape. Surely they needed workers. I managed to get a meeting with a construction manager who had grown up not far from where I live. He understood exactly what I was looking for and why. We need people like you, he said, and I thought finally, here's my chance. Then he paused. But the funding envelope doesn't allow for new recruitment. We're operating within very tight financial parameters set by the Treasury. I wish I could help, but my hands are tied. Walking home that evening, I took a detour past the old West London College Construction Training Centre. It's a large purpose-built facility, designed specifically for vocational education. Through the windows, I could see rows of welding stations, concrete testing equipment, hydraulic demonstration rigs, all sitting unused in the dark. The security lighting illuminated everything perfectly, workbenches, safety equipment, instructional posters still pinned to the walls. It was like looking at a laboratory that someone had simply abandoned mid-experiment. The next day, I was in my local pub when I recognised 3 men at the next table. Former Crossrail workers, all of them, who'd been laid off when their contracts ended 6 months earlier. I introduced myself, mentioned what I'd been trying to do. They laughed, not unkindly. You want to learn transport construction? said one, a welding specialist with 20 years experience. We could teach you everything you need to know. Bridge construction, tunnel engineering, railway systems. Another, a concrete specialist, nodded. The problem isn't knowledge or skills. The problem is they keep telling us there's no money. I thought about that phrase. There is no money. I'd heard it at the college, at Transport for London, at the Department for Transport, from the Crossrail manager. Everyone said it like it was a law of physics, like saying water flows downhill, or objects fall when dropped. But I'd seen the equipment sitting unused at the training centre. I was talking to workers who had exactly the skills I wanted to learn, and they had time to teach. I was standing in a constituency where people wanted transport jobs, and London needed transport infrastructure. If the people existed, and the skills existed, and the materials existed, what exactly was it that there was no money for? The government that issues the pound had chosen not to spend the pounds that would connect these people to this work. That wasn't a natural disaster or an accounting problem. That was a decision made by people who had alternatives. They could have funded the college program, extended the apprenticeship scheme, continued the Skills Bank initiative, allowed Crossrail to hire locally. They chose not to. The real question was never about money. It was about priorities. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. But a government that issues its own currency doesn't need to find money before it spends it. The constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. All of those existed in Hayes and Harlington. What didn't exist was the political will to connect them. I'm still here, still watching the trains go past, still seeing the empty training centre when I walk home. But I understand something now that I didn't understand when this started. This isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard was never bare. It was locked.
What Danny experienced has a name, logical fallacy. A logical fallacy is reasoning that appears valid but rests on a false comparison. If I said goldfish bowls and oceans are the same because both contain water, you'd spot the error immediately. The scale, the ecosystem, the function are completely different. Yet every time Danny was told there is no money, officials were making exactly this kind of false comparison. They treated the UK government budget like a household budget. A household must save before it spends, must balance its books, must live within its means. This seems obviously true because it matches daily experience. But a government that issues its own currency operates by completely different rules. It spends money into existence, then taxes or borrows to remove it from circulation. The household must find pounds before spending them. The government creates pounds by spending them. When the Treasury said there was no funding for transport training, they were applying household logic to a currency issuer. The UK government doesn't need to save up pounds like a family saving for a holiday. It can spend pounds into any area where real resources exist to be mobilised. In Danny's case, those resources were sitting idle. The equipment at West London College, the unemployed construction workers, the young people seeking skills. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Hayes and Harlington ranks 114 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025. 514 registered charities operate in the constituency according to the Charity Commission Register. The area received £18.7 million in grants tracked by 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.